to the air, and we're going to the next two or three shiurim, we're going to deal with the Haggadah of Pesach, and I'm doing it because I'm personally under, let's say, a certain degree of pressure, or I'm in the midst of a project that we'll tell you more about next week. Basically, what it really is, one of my sons-in-law and I, we were in the process of printing or reprinting a Haggadah called the Haggadah Leil Shimurim. I don't think it's been printed in about 50, 60, 70 years. Certainly not the way in which we're doing it. It was all printed, as Sfarim always were, in Rashi script. And you see, what you see in front of you now, you're the first ones in the world to see what the text is going to look like. And my son-in-law, Yehuda Goldreich, has also added all of the... All of the sources. The original Haggadah didn't have sources, but all of the sources are available here. In other words, if the author quotes a Gemara or a Mishnah or a Pasuk in Chumash or Tanakh, it's all clearly stated here. It's a Haggadah that I fell in love with about 30 years ago, and I think I went through three copies already. Oh, now I'll have hundreds of copies to go through. Then again, I hope I won't have hundreds of copies, I think. I just hope that everybody is going to be buying them. They'll be selling them at all of the street corners. I had wanted to give a biography of the author, but I'm just going to give brief, very brief notes now, because I have a feeling a lot of our people are not here for one reason or other today, so we'll save it for next week in Yetz Hashem. The author of the Leil Shimurim was Rabbi Yechiel Michel Halevi Epstein. He was never called Epstein. He was always Epstein. Rabbi Yechiel Michel Halevi Epstein was first and foremost the author of the Orach HaShulchan. The Orach HaShulchan is a halachic work on all of Shulchan Orach. Orach Chaim, Yoredeya, Evan Hezeh, Choshen Mishpat. The only such work that has been done following the only such work that has been done since the Shulchan Aruch was composed by Rabbi Yosef Karo. We'll talk more about him. He's also known as the father of the Baal Torah Tamima. The Torah Tamima Chumash was written by his son Baruch Halevi Epstein. His grandson was Rav Meir Bar Ilan, Rav Meir Berlin. We'll find out a little bit more about the family when we get down to it, but here it is, Leil Shimurim. I haven't seen anybody, I've done a lot of work on his biography, I haven't seen anybody who says this, but it occurred to me as I was working on it, his first work, and by the way, give you the time frame, 19th century. He died, I believe, in 1907. Don't write it down. I think 1907. And he lived a long life, so that all of his work was mainly the second half of the 19th century. His first work was a sefer called Or LaYisharim, Light. Or LaYisharim, Light to the Righteous. And it is a comprehensive perush on a sefer that was written by the Rabbeinu Tam, an enikel of Rashi, one of the Tosafists, who wrote a sefer called Sefer HaYashar. And he wrote Or LaYisharim, he lights up this sefer. It occurred to me, I haven't seen anybody who says it in all of the biographies, unless I didn't look well enough, but I didn't see anybody who says it. Here is his sefer, Or LaYisharim, on the Rabbeinu Tam. And here is his Haggadah Leil Shimurim. In the first section that we're going to study now, he mentions the pasuk of Leil Shimurim, but I think he may have used it just as in Oral Yeshadim, and in Leil Shimurim, the last two letters are Yud Mem, Yechiel, Michal. He was Yechiel, Michal, Halevi Epstein. Leil Shimurim, this is the work of Yechiel, Michal. There is a third sefer, I think he wrote toward the end of his life, also ends with Yud Mem. I think the Mayim, something or other Mayim, and also Yud Mem at the end, Yechiel Michal. All right, but that he didn't write an introduction to the Haggadah. There's no introduction. Usually, a mechaber, an author, writes an introduction. I have a feeling that his first piece on the Haggadah is in place of an introduction. Koholach mo'anya. Everybody knows the first part. This is the bread of affliction that our fathers ate in the land of Egypt. And then, of course, it goes on to say, whoever is in need, let him come in to eat. Whoever needs to partake in the Korban Pesach, may he come in and eat. Hashata ha'chol, this year we're here, l'shon ha'bo, b'yaro di Yisrael, next year in the land of Israel. This year we are enslaved, and next year, yes Hashem, we're going to be free people. Okay, we're going to be free. That's the famous opening to the Haggadah. Everybody knows that. Now, though he will not say it, I'm reading into what he says. While the text in his Haggadah is Holach Mo'anya, when he comes to the Perush, he writes K'Holach Mo'anya, like the bread of affliction. In other words, we're not saying Holach Mo'anya, this, the matzahs on the table, this is the bread of affliction. What we're doing is like the bread of affliction. Why? So let's go. Just follow me. Don't be frustrated. You know, you see all of this text over here. It's helping me. I have to go over it and, check it out well. So you're going to assist me in checking it out. Yesh lefarish al pimama Yeshayahu Anavi. To understand the Holach Mo'anya, he brings a number of psukim from Yeshayahu. I have them down in number 2. I have it in number 2. Let's read it from there, and then we'll go back into the text. Shimu Eilai Rod Feit Tzedek, listen unto me, those who pursue righteousness. Mivakshei Hashem, those who seek out God. Habitu El Tzur Chutzavtem, take a look at the rock from which you were hewn. A tzur is a rock. Ma'oz Tzur Yeshuati Tzur Yisrael V'Galalo Barechet Medinat Yisrael Tzur. Take a look at the rock Chutzavtem from which you were hewn. Ve'el Makevet Bor Nukartem, and take a look at the pit from which you were dug. What does he mean by that? Like, you have the psukim, you have them down at number 2 as well. Yeah, but the one down the bottom has nekudas. So it helps some of us. It doesn't have to help all of us. All right? Habitu al Avram Avichem. Take a look, the Navi says, that your father Avram, Ve'el Soro Ticholauchem, Soro from whom you all began. It all began. We say, Tichle Shono Vekilolotel, you let the year and its curses end. Tochel Shono Ubirchotel, let the new year begin with its blessings. Take a look at Avram Avichem, your father, Avram Del Sora Techolelchem, and Sarah, who began you. Ki Echod Kirativ, I called him one. Vo Avarchehu, I blessed him. Vo Arbehu, and I multiplied him. Okay, and then the next pasuk seems to be out of left field. Ki nicham Hashem Tzion, God consoles Tzion. Nicham kol chorvotera, he has consoled all of her ruins. Vayosem midborokei, then he has turned her desert into a garden of Eden. Va'arvata, and the dry steppes, the plains, Kegan Hashem, like the garden of God. Sason v'simcha yibotzeba, joy and happiness will be found in her. Toda v'kol zimra, thanksgiving and the sound of joy. Now, we started with Avram and Sarah. The Yeshayahu was talking about Avram and Sarah. And from Avram and Sarah, he goes to God consoling Tzion. What's the relationship between the two? What is being said over here? So the Baal Orach HaShulchan, the Baal Leil Shemurim, has his own way of learning these psukim. And he says what's being said over here is the following. Shemurei Lairot, Peit Tzedek, Mevakshi Hashem. Take a look at Bor Chutzaf, at Sur Chutzaftem, the rock from which you were hewn, and the pit from which you were dug. He says, that rock from which you were hewn was absolutely dry, with no possibility, like a rock, no possibility of giving birth. Avram Avinu was not capable of having children. Sarah Imenu was like an empty pit. There's nothing in the pit. Both Avram and Sarah were by nature, by their very nature, it was impossible for them to give birth. And that's why he says, take a look at Avram Avichem and Sarah from whom you began. Ki echod kiratif. He was one. And in the nature of things, he would have remained one forever. But you know what happened? Something changed. Va'avorchehu, I blessed him. And you know what happened as a result of that blessing? Arbehu, I multiplied him. So the Baal Orach HaShulchan says the following. You know what this pasuk is telling us? From the very beginning of Jewish history, we were born in miracle. Our entire coming onto the face of this earth was something that was wrought by God Himself. Within the nature of the world, there was no way that Avram and Sarah could have had children. And therefore the Navi Yeshayahu was saying the very existence of the Jewish people from its very beginnings was all miracle. Therefore, I want to tell you this miracle extends throughout all of Jewish history. And therefore, Ki Nicham Hashem Tzion, exactly what God did at the beginning, He will do again and again for the Jewish people, that Tzion, that had become destroyed, completely, utterly destroyed, turned into a wasteland, a midbar, the midbar will become Gan Hashem. Because this is God who is consoling the Jewish people. The Baal Orach HaShulchan is going to go on to say that at the very, very beginning of the Haggadah opens with words of great hope and optimism. And begins therefore by saying, number one, the very birth, the coming into being. I don't think we can use the word birth. The coming into being of the Jewish people was miraculous. There are going to be periods in Jewish history that are going to be completely miracle, not derech hateva. That's really what he's saying in that first paragraph. Now take a look at the next paragraph. Back up into the text. Ubazeh yesh lefarish haposuk. This is how we can explain the posuk. Leil shimurim hu laHashem. This is a posuk in Parashat Bo. You will of course notice immediately that this is where he took the name of the Haggadah from. Leil Shimurim Hu LaHashem, this is a night of anticipation. A night of anticipation. God looked forward to this night so that he can miraculously bring the Jewish people out of Egypt. Leil Shimurim Hu LaHashem, it is a night of anticipation to God LaHutziyom Me'eretz Mitzrayim, to take them out of the land of Egypt. Hu halayla hazeh laHashem shimurim lechol bnei Yisrael ledorotam. This night is a night of watching and waiting. The word shimurim has a number of meanings. In the first part of the pasuk, it is the night of
anticipation. From the time that God told Avram that your children are going to be enslaved for 400 years and then I will take them out, it was this night that was set aside for the moment of freedom. So it is in that respect a night of anticipation. It becomes a night of anticipation for all generations because this night is Shamur, set aside for all generations. Great miracles will take place for the Jewish people at this moment in history. By the way, at the end of the Haggadah, you have V'chein v'yihi b'chatzi alayla, v'yichein v'yihi b'chatzi alayla, describes all of the things that happened on the night of Pesach. So I think that he used the term Leil Shimurim as the name of his sefer, number one. I'm not sure which is number one and which is number two, but let's say, first of all, because it ends with Yud Mem Yechiel Michel, and also because the message of this whole Haggadah is a message of great, great hope. Great hope. It's not so bad. Whenever you think it's bad, you should know it's not so bad. And therefore he's going to go on to say that here it is, Pesach is coming, there are people who are ill, there are people who are poor, who don't know how they're going to put a Pesach together, they don't know where their hope is going to come from. And yes, we know that Jews throughout history have opened up their hearts and their pockets in order to provide for people. And so he says, listen, you have to know our survival is always a miracle. And the Rebbe Shem will take care of all of you just as he has taken care of us throughout all of history or through most of history. That's exactly what's going to happen now. So let's go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 lines into the second paragraph. V'lazer, therefore, bo bal ha'godah b'reishu d'varo. The bal ha'godah comes at the opening of his words, l'nachem otam, to console them, the poor, the underprivileged, u'l'daber al libam, to speak to their hearts, shi'uchazokim b'emunas Hashem v'lo yidagu. They should be strong in their faith in God and not to worry. They should believe in God's wondrous divine providence. Even though in the normal order of things, the salvation is distant from them. God conducts himself with us beyond nature. All of Jewish history is beyond nature. And anybody who thinks that we're going to resolve our problems with agreements and with negotiation and with withdrawals and all sorts of other things knoweth not what he speaketh. It's not going to work that way. That's why it says, K'hol lachmo anya. Shonu ochlu l'zman azeh. The Acholo of a son of Bada, the Mitzchayim, that our fathers ate in the land of Egypt. So you see, I believe here he doesn't say it so clearly, but this is what he means. He reads the text, K'hol lachmo anya. Not that we are making a statement at the beginning, you see this matzah, this is the bread of affliction. No, no, no. The message over here is for the future. Just like we went through a period that we ate that bread of affliction and we went out to freedom and it was all miraculous, that's exactly the way God is going to continue to conduct himself with regard to the Jewish people. Klom alechem kazer, this kind of bread we ate in Egypt. V'im kolzen, despite the fact that we were there, Ozar Hashem Atom, God helped us, l'malom en ateva. Beyond the limits of nature. V'lachein lo yipol v'veinu, therefore our hearts should not fall. Gam ato now, unekabel akol v'simcha, we should accept everything with joy. V'lachein le'is ato now, kol d'chin yeisi v'yeichol al shulchan acherim, anybody who's hungry, let him come and eat by others. Kol d'tzvich al chag ha'pesach, anybody who needs for chag ha'pesach, v'ein lo mishalo, yeisi v'yivsach, should go and join a group for Korban Pesach, mikupat tzedakah, or in our time it means to accept from charity. and lift one's eyes heavenward. Lasot imanu nisim v'niflaot. Boy, do we need nisim v'niflaot? V'yekaveh l'Hashem l'chazdo v'tufo, and he will. We should hope to God for His kindness and His goodness. Ad shahashata hocha. This year we are here. L'shana bobe arad Yisrael. And here I believe, and he says, just like at the end of Haggadah, we're going to say Lashon HaBob Yerushalayim. What he's really doing is, he's taking the beginning of Haggadah, and he's taking the end of Haggadah, and he's putting them all together, and he's turning it into a message of great hope and anticipation for Jews and Jewish history. Ukemoshe b'sof Haggadah, just like at the end of Haggadah, they say Lashon HaBob Yerushalayim. Kemokein onu omrim zeh, we say it at the beginning. V'chein yehi ratzon b'meheirav yameinu amein. I have a feeling that this was his introduction. He didn't write a formal introduction. I think the first ones that ever wrote a formal introduction to this Haggadah was myself and my son-in-law, you understand. And all that I did at this point was write a biography of the author, who was certainly one of the giants of Psak Halacha. And in the Haggadah, he emerges not only as a giant in Halacha, he emerges as a giant in Hashkafa. And that's what I want to try and show you during the course of the next few weeks. Okay. You know, I don't know why I always read the present into anything that I learn. Can you imagine? The rabbis of the Haggadah, the rabbis, Anshei Knesset Tagdola, who wrote the Haggadah, do you know what they did in the Haggadah? At the very beginning of the Haggadah, they said, this year we're here, next year we're going to be in Eretz Yisrael. L'shana bov Yerushalayim. Do you understand that the rabbis are creating false hopes? How do they know that it's going to be? How can they take this? Next year comes and we're not going to be in Yerushalayim. People are going to lose their faith. They're going to fall apart at the seams. Just somebody yesterday said over in my name that I was one of those who said that the uprooting of Gush Katif, hoyo lo tihiyeh, it's not going to be. By the way, I never said it. I don't have such broad shoulders. But certainly, Merk Eliyahu certainly said it. So all the finer mention, you understand? What a terrible thing he did. How do you create such false hopes? I think they should cut this out of the Haggadah. For 2,500 years, our rabbis told us to say at the beginning of the Haggadah, this year we're here, next year we're going to be in Eretz Yisrael. This year we are we're slaves, next year we're going to be beginning free. How did they do that? Jews live with hope. Without hope, there's only one other possibility, and that's despair. Any people that didn't live with hope fell into despair. And because of despair, they deteriorated, degenerated, and disappeared from the face of the earth. As I told one of my friends who was complaining about the rabbis, who said, it's not going to be, not going to be. I told him I'd like to see him meet up with Rabbi Akiva, who said about Bar Kokhba, Dain Malkom Mashiach. This man is Mashiach. Mashiach, Mashiach, Mashiach. I said, understand? Do you think that Klal Yisrael ever held it against Rabbi Akiva that he said, this is Melech HaMashiach? And you're going to see as we go through the Haggadah, Rabbi Akiva, of course, is going to be one of the giants of the Haggadah. We're going to come to the story of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Yeshua, all the great rabbis. Do you know where the great rabbis are meeting for the Seder? Not at Tuplas, not at Tuplas, not in Hawaii, and not at the Yamamelach. But they're all in the hottest place in the north, they're all in Bnei Brak. And there's going to be another piece later on in the Haggadah over here, Haggadah's Leil Shimurim, where he asks questions that's asked by a lot of the Mefarshim. What are they doing by Rabbi Akiva? And he lists Rabbi Eliezer lived in Lud, Rabbi Yeshua lived in Sachnin. They lived all over the place. Not only that, Rabbi Eliezer is the one who says that on Yontif you're supposed to be at home. Shabbos you can go away from home, but Yontif you have to be at home. So here is the Rabbi Eliezer who says that on Yontif you have to be at home, and he's in Bnei Brak. What are they all doing in Bnei Brak? So the Leil Mishub Shimurim says a different approach. He says the one giant who continued to maintain the hope and anticipation of the Jewish people was Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, in his honor, they went to be with him, maybe more than in his honor. They wanted to hear from Rabbi Akiva words of hope and encouragement. They didn't want to hear from Rabbi Akiva, listen, boys, let's call a spade a spade. We're living in the real world. We're finished. We don't stand a chance. We're wiped out. That was not Rabbi Akiva. The famous story with Rabbi Akiva, as he and the rabbis are walking up toward Har HaBayit, and they see a fox coming out of the Holy of Holies, so they began to cry, and he began to laugh. Why are you laughing, they say to him. Why are you crying, he says to them. So they say, the place that a Kohen Gadol will go in only once during the course of the year, the place where the Divine Presence was, and now there are foxes going through it. And Rabbi Akiva's famous response to them was, if the prophecies of destruction had become fulfilled so precisely, then I now believe with absolute faith that all of the prophecies of ultimate redemption are also going to be fulfilled. To which they responded, Nichamtanu Akiva, Nichamtanu, you have consoled us, Rabbi Akiva, you have consoled us. Did anybody go over to him and tell him, listen, Rabbi Akiva, how could you say something like this? Condemn the rabbis for having sown false hopes. I also once said here, following the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, the generation before Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was the great leader at the time of Korban HaBayit, who of course gets very bad press. He gets bad press. Anybody who's ready to give up his mother-in-law and maybe his grandmother for peace is always going to quote or use Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He gave Yerushalayim to the Romans for peace. He gave Yerushalayim to the Romans because there was no point anymore. Yerushalayim had fallen. He only formalized the reality. And even that, Rabbi Akiva is the one who said about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Meshiv Chachomim Ochor Vedata Yisach El Apasik, that God at times turns back the wisdom of the wise. He should not have surrendered Yerushalayim then. He should have asked for Yerushalayim. I mean, this is the great machlokas. So here they will always quote Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the great realist. What are you talking about realists? Right after the Churban HaBayit, he instituted a whole series of special enactments that the reason for them was Mehera Yibonei HaMikdash. Speedily, the Beit HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt. And therefore, there was about a certain halach, he said, this has to be usher now, because next year, when we will have the Beit HaMikdash, people may make the mistake of thinking they can do the same thing, but they can't do it anymore because there's a Beis HaMikdash. Yes? You know, I'll get very good. I'll get to that. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made all sorts of enactments. Mehera Yibonei HaMikdash, and people will make a mistake. Last year we did such and such. I can imagine our fancy fellas around here saying, Rabbi Ben Zakkai, how are you sowing such false hopes? Next year is going to roll around, and there won't be a Beis HaMikdash, and people are going to fall apart at the seams. They're going to lose their faith. Nachash mentioned we have to deal with. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai knew as well as Rabbi Akiva that you have to sow not despair, but you have to sow hope and anticipation. Okay. Ah, yes, it is true. The Gemara says that as he was nearing the end of his life, his students were around his bed, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and they saw him crying, so they asked him, you pillar, light of Israel, why are you crying? So he says, listen, if they would be taking me now before a king of flesh and blood, who cannot really hurt me into eternity, if he puts me to death, it's not an eternal death. Wouldn't I be frightened now that I go before the Holy One, blessed be He, if He punishes me, is this going to be a punishment forever? I should not cry. So they ask, what's Hitaka crying about? And then he says, and I don't know which road they're taking me. Are they taking me to Gan Eden? Are they taking me to Gehenna? I don't know. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai didn't know. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai didn't know. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was a great judge. And you know what the rule for a judge is? Ein lo ledayon, ela ma she'einav ro'ot. A judge has to judge on the basis of the facts in front of him. He had to make the most difficult decision in all of Jewish history without benefit of anybody present. Vespasian asks him, what do you want? He was not in a position to say, wait a minute, I have to call the Merkaz of Kadima together, and we have to call the Sea of Mavdal together, and we're going to have to appoint a committee, of course, that's going to look into it. He had to give an answer. And he chose Yavne v'chachomeha. Yavne v'chachomeha. Was he certain? Did he have absolute certitude that what he did was right? Klal Yisrael knows that he was right. We, generations down the line, we know he was right. I think I once said, he enacted these rules because Mehera Yibane HaMikdash. Speedily the Bet HaMikdash will be rebuilt. I think he was saying as well then, what was it that he asked for in place of Yerushalayim? Yavne. The same letters as Yibane. Torah would be built. And the Jewish people, Mehera Yibane, through what? Through Yavne. And despite the fact that what did they have in Yavne? He had a kollel chveis, a few old guys sitting over there learning. So the Roman Empire, the Holy Roman Empire, crumbled. And Klal Yisrael keeps going, not so merrily, but, we keep going. So I say that this opening statement of the Leil Shimurim is really his introduction. He's introducing his Perush to the whole Haggadah, that it is all a story of hope and anticipation, and that yes, Leil Shimurim means that this night has been set aside as a night of anticipation, a night of guarding, a night of watching. All right, part one. Next page. Don't get worried. It looks formidable, but you're going to hold your fingers. And we're going to take you through, and whatever we don't finish, there's next week. But I have to go through the whole Haggadah now, you understand? Before Shabbos Haggadah, I have to go through the whole Haggadah. Manishtana. Love the Manishtana. There is something about the Manishtana that's in his next piece, that I had once. His next piece is going to be on Avodah Mayinu. You don't have that. But when he comes to Avodah Mayinu, so after the four kashas, The answer is Avodah Mayinu. The answer is Avodah Mayinu. So all the Mepharshim want to know, in what way does Avodah Hayinu answer the four questions? You know, if a kid is going to get a little uppity over there, Tata, ich will der fragen die vier Kashes, and I want an answer. It's not so simple to figure out how the text of the Haggadah answers each one of the four questions. So we will see, he says over there, very beautiful word. I love this word, and I told you once a little story about this. But you can't tell it to your grandchildren. Don't tell it to your grandchildren. He says, Manishtana is not a question. We know, of course, that the Mishnah says, Kan HaBen Shoel, the son asks. He says, if it would have been a question, it would have been, Lama nishtana halayla hazeh mikol halaylos. Lama, why is this night different than all other nights? That would be the correct word. I'll tell you, nothing will ever fit in. I can't imagine any kid saying, Tata, Lama nishtana, what are you talking about? Hey, you're supposed to say the manishtana, not the lama nishtana. So he says a beautiful, beautiful word. He says, the word ma does not mean why. The word ma means, oh my. Matovu ohalecho Yaakov, mishkenosecho Yisrael. Bilam is not asking, why are your tents so goodly? It's an exclamation of my. Matovu ohalecho Yaakov. Hine. Matovu manoim sheves achim gam yachad. My, how good and how sweet and how pleasant it is when brothers live there. Morabu masecho Hashem, we say it in davening every day, passing in Tehillim. Morabu masecho Hashem, kulam bechach masisa. My God, how awesome, how great is all that you have created. He says, there are no four questions over here. The child is exclaiming, gosh, wow, manish tana halayla zemikolis, wow, is this night different than all the other nights? This happened, that happened. By the way, the moment that ma is no longer a question, then the answer doesn't have to fit specifically to each one, because the question or the exclamation becomes a general one. My gosh, how different this night is than all other nights. I said this some years ago in shul, and there was an alter yid, a tayr yid that came in that day. I think Eliyahu Hanavi sent him in that day to shul to hear this year. So he says to me, Kvod Arav, ani agid lecha, I'm going to tell you what I heard from my Rebbe many, many years ago. The famous first Rashi in Chumash, Omer Rabbi Yitzchak said, Lo hoya tzorech lahaskulis ha-Torah elo me'achodesh hazeh lachem shehi mitzvah rishona shenitztavu bo Yisrael. Torah should have begun with the first mitzvah, which is the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh in Parshas Bo. U'matam posach b'bereshis. Rashi's not asking, and why did he begin with Bereshis? Why did he begin with Bereshis? He started with HaKadosh. No, you know what Rashi is saying? Matam, how wonderful, what a beautiful thing it is that Torah started with creation in order to tell us that the world is the Lord, the earth is the Lord's. And he took Eretz Yisrael from the nations of the world and he gave it to us. Also, Amah, it's not a question of Lomer. Why? It's oh my, an exclamation. But I say, it's not going to go well with the Einikluch. They've been drilling into their heads. They must have started already the day after Hanukkah. They started teaching them how to say the Manishtana. And Tatek Vel Defreg and the Fear Kashis, I don't know how do they say it over here in Hebrew. I imagine they must say it, Abba! So go tell them that it's not a question.
All right, listen, I was brought up that way too. The Baal Orach HaShulchan asks, why isn't one of the questions or exclamations the four cups of wine? We ask about no chametz, only matzah. We ask about bitter herbs. We ask about the dunking. We ask about the inclining on the left side. Always the most difficult thing for me to do the night of the Seder. Because zazim yamina, you understand? It's supposed to be moving to the right, but if the halacha says left, I'll do that. Okay. We ask, those are the four exclamations. Why don't we ask about the arba kasas? So, number two, he gives a pashita balabatisha answer. The pashita balabatisha answer, I can tell you, you're going to have to read it. The pashita balabatisha answer is that following a great miracle, the idea of lifting a cup of wine or a Bloody Mary or Vebesvas and saying a lachayim or cheers or whatever it is something that is common to all nations of the world. You know, a toast, for he's a jolly good fellow, you understand? A toast is the kind of thing that is understood by the nations of the world. So therefore it could be, this is not so out of the ordinary, this is not so unusual. Except, of course, that there's a big difference between our, they call it over here, and I don't know why, some reason I don't like it. You know, every time a minister leaves his office, either because he's getting thrown out or he's moving to another office, so the minister together with the members of his staff, haramat kosit, memachta l'chaim and gay zvaiter. Okay, they should all make l'chaims and gay as zvaiter as possible. All right, gay zvaiter. So he says, our haramat kosit is qualitatively different than all the rest. All the rest, they're patting themselves on the back. But David HaMelech says what our l'chaim is. Kos Yeshuot Esa uveshem Hashem Ekra. When I lift a cup because of a great salvation that has taken place, uveshem Hashem Ekra, I thank God. I don't pat myself on the back. I don't pat anybody else on the back. That's the qualitative difference between our haramat kosit and theirs. But then he says, now he begins it's a fascinating journey. Don't be frightened of it. If we don't finish it now, we have another two Tuesdays before Pesach. Two more Tuesdays until Pesach. All right? Odesh levar biofen achar al piha omer birushalmi. There's another way to explain it. And this is on the basis of the words of the Yerushalmi. The Talmud Yerushalmi at the end of Masechta Pesachim. Now, he at this point, he only brings one part of the Yerushalmi. I have the Yerushalmi for you on side one, number four. You know, you have to learn a Talmud Yerushalmi. There's something a little erased over there, but number four, down at the bottom. Minayin ledalid kosot. That word is kosot. Why are there four cups? Good question. Why are there four cups? If I'm not mistaken, I think the Gemara, the Talmud Yerushalmi, is going to give four answers. Rabbi Yochanan b'shem Rabbinaya. Rabbi Yochanan says, Keneged arba geulot. It corresponds to the four
four stages of the redemption. At the beginning of Parashat Ve'eda, God says, Lachem, he tells Moshe, Amor l'vnei Yisrael, tell the children of Israel, I've heard of their suffering. Ani Hashem v'hotzeiti etchem mitachat sivlot Mitzrayim, I'm going to take you out. V'hotzeisi v'hitzalti v'ga'alti v'lokachti, I will take you out, I will rescue you, I will redeem you, and I will take you unto me as a people. V'hotzeisi v'hitzalti v'ga'alti v'lokachti. Those are the four. He is going to ask later, of course, the great question that all of the Mepharshim deal with, and he's going to have his own unique approach. There is a fifth term. And that fifth term is, Ve'heveti etchem el ha'aretz, I'm going to bring you to the land that I have lifted my hand in an oath, swearing to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that I will give the land to his children. All the Mepharshim ask, why is there no fifth cup for the Heveti? There are some, of course, who want to say that the cup of Eliyahu at the end corresponds to that. There's a shiur that I said some years ago with my umpshat, but this now we're into Orach Laner, so we're going to see his pshat. It's going to come at the end of this piece, but I can let you in on it now. He says, Vahutseisi, Vahitzalti, Vigalti, Vilakachti, those four were for the Jewish people exclusively. Vischus. The Vehevesi was not for us alone. It was because God had promised it to the Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We drink the Yerushalmi Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omar, Keneged Dalit Koso Shel Paro. This is really going to become his tour de force in this piece. What a strange reason. At the end of Parshas Vayeshev, we're told the story about the baker and the butler who were incarcerated in prison, and Yosef is in charge of the prison, and one morning he comes in and he sees they're terribly upset. They tell him his dream. The butler tells him his dream. Now in the butler's dream, as it's related in Torah, he uses the word kos four times. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, we drink four cups of wine, corresponding to the four times it says kos in the story of the butler. The big question, of course, is, what does Boydim have to do with klotz? What do these two things have to do with one another? This is not apples and oranges. I mean, this is so distant because it says four times close in the story of the butler. That's why on the night of... This is what he's going to have to explain. I'm afraid, I don't know, you're going to have sleepless nights because we're not going to get to the answer to this question yet. But that's the question. There's a third opinion in the Yerushalmi. The third opinion in the... Oh, so there he says, Can I get down with Kosa Shoparo, the Kos Paro Biyodi? I dreamt that the coast of Paris is my hand, and I dreamt that I squeezed the grapes into the cup of Paro, and I put the cup onto the hand, the palm of Paro. And then Yosef tells him later, Venotata, you will do that. You're going to place the cup in the hands of Paro. So that's the third opinion. Reb Levi Omar Keneged Dalad Malchios. Reb Levi says it corresponds to the four kingdoms. According to Sefer Daniel, there are four major exiles. Bavel, following Mitzrayim, the Babylonian, Persia and Medes, Paras Umadai, Yavon, Greece, and then Edom or Romi, which is the catch-all name from the time of the destruction of the Second Temple until today. It's called Golos Romi. So there are four exiles
So of course the question is going to be, what does four exiles have to do with four cups of wine? And then there's a fifth. I didn't add correctly. There are five answers why there are four cups of wine. All right? The Rabbanon say, Keneged Dalet Kosos Shel Pironius, Shakodesh Baruch Hu Osed Lahashkot Et Umot HaOlam. The Navi talks about God in punishing the nations of the world. He's going to give them the cup of poison to drink. That's the metaphor that's used by the Nevi'im. And there are four times that it says God is going to give the cup of punishment. So of course we have to understand what this is talking about also. So, back on to the next page. Then he's going to ask another question. And this is a question that I also gave a shir about once, but he's going to take a different approach. No, I shouldn't have said it that way. He takes a wonderful approach, and I, Lefi Aniyut Dati, took a different approach. Famous Psukim Tanach, Yirmiyahu, a voice is heard on high. Rachel Mevako Albana, Rachel cries for her children. The only one to whom God responds is to Rachel. He says, Mini kolech mi bechi, withhold your eyes from crying, your voice from crying, ve'naich, and your eyes mi dima, from tearing. Yesh tikva, there is hope, lachriteit, there is hope, will return. Why is it that Rachel receives this great promise, this great guarantee, the promise that is not given to Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, David, Shlomo, Yeshaya, Yirmiyahu? Nobody, only Rachel. Why Rachel? In what respect is Rachel different? As he says, all of the mothers, all of them were righteous women. If you'll take a look at number three, in number three there's sort of a break in the middle, two lines above that. V'chein Omar HaNovi Ovadia, the Novi Ovadia said, Komar Hashem Elokim LeEdom, so God says about Edom, Al Tismach LeBnei Yehuda V'yom Avdom, you should not have been happy about what happened to the sons of Yehuda on the day that they were lost. V'gam Dabar HaMelech Olav HaShalom Ba'al Naharos Bavel. He complained bitterly. He's talking about the Churban. Remember at Yom Yerushalayim, Ha'omrim, to those who said, Oru, Oru, Ad HaYesod Ba, destroy, destroy until the foundations. Ubi Uro, says, you know what they're talking about? Says, for listen to this. Zemi minik ha'olam, what's usually accepted in the world is shekol malchus halechus umlechom malchus acheres, a kingdom that, a country that goes to war against another country, lekovsha, to conquer it, v'horeis mivtzarav, destroys the fortresses, ad shiich b'shen, until he conquers it. But what happens after you've conquered? What do you do after the enemy has, your enemy has surrendered? Avalacha shekavsha, after they are conquered, yachos al habinyanim hamefuadim shelo lishachatam. Going to be very careful about historic buildings, not to destroy them. Is Paris burning? Hitler, Yimach Shemai, wanted to destroy, as he was losing Paris, he wanted to destroy it. And the general who was in charge had already put the Chavez, all sorts of explosives by the Louvre, the Tour de Eiffel. In other words, the great art and the treasures, architectural treasures of France. You know, France was once a great people. I'm not sure precisely when. It was a long time ago. All right. Okay. Well before de Gaulle. All right. They can't have bread of cake. That was the greatest moment in French history, you understand? Okay.
So who's that? Marie Antoinette or Madame Defarge? You understand? We have the French. We're all down on the French these days. Understand? Asian flu started in France, not in Asia. All right. So he says, what's the norm? You know what the norm is? After you have subdued and subjugated a people, you protect the architectural treasures. That's what happens all over the world. Twice it didn't happen. Once, Churban Bayit Rishon and Churban Bayit Sheni, the Babylonians razed the city to the ground. The Romans destroyed the city, destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, unheard of. The Palestinians destroyed the shuls of Gush Katif. You don't do this. You don't do it. Yachos ala binyanim ha-mufuarim shelo l'shachatam. You don't destroy beautiful buildings. Va'adraba, mechaz kamu mufaram. You strengthen them and you beautify them because they're now yours. Kivishem ato tachas yodolu teferes hulo. They're in his possession. This is beauty for him. Ubnei Adam lo osu kein. But the sons of Rome didn't do this. Shafilu acha shekovshu Yerushalayim. After they conquered Yerushalayim, horsu amigdash. They destroyed the Bet HaMikdash. V'chol ha-binyanim ha-mufuarim. And all of the beautiful buildings in the city. V'zehu mirov sinah. Because of hatred, that's why David HaMelech says, "The Chor Hashem le'Ne'edom et Yom Yerushalayim." Remember Yom Yerushalayim. That in Kol Zeh, after Yom Yerushalayim, after they had conquered the city, they said, "Oru, Oru Yerushalayim ad Yisod, but destroy, destroy Yerushalayim. Shelo tishar mimenu shedus. Nothing should remain." That can only come from absolute hatred that knows no bounds. That's why God is angry with Amalek. And here the Baal Aruch HaShulchan says basically things similar to what the Malbim wrote either later or at the same time. Amalek attacks while they're on the road. There's nothing, he stands to gain nothing. Not going to gain land. There are people without a home, a people with a nation without a land. What could have motivated him to come out there? Only pure, unadulterated, organic hatred. That's what it was all about. That's why it says, Zochorat asher osa lecha Amalek baderech. Isn't it similar to what David HaMelech is saying to God, Zochor? Yom Yerushalayim, remember? Zechor Hashem levnei Adam at Yom Yerushalayim? His intention only was to show his hatred to the Jewish people. The Lilo Galanisim ben Eflois, that's why it says, Zechor Asher Oselecho Amalek. I'm afraid that I'm going to have to leave you at a very crucial point. All of the threads are going to be brought together. We will, of course, bring you back next week, but basically, the question that we are dealing with is, why are the four cups not part of the exclamation of the Manashtana? We know five different reasons that the Talmud Yerushalmi gives for the four cups. I think you should do that for homework, study the four statements of redemption, the four cups in the story of the butler. I forgot what was the next one. The four cups that the enemy is going to have to drink. The four exiles. The brilliance of his piece is going to be, he's going to say that all of the five reasons are all one. They're all interrelated, inextricably intertwined. If by the end of next Tuesday you'll know this well, you'll have a good 2 hours to say at the Haggadah while everybody is very upset. Don't start saying it till after the chicken, but there are a lot of major ideas in Hashkafa that are going to be expressed there. It's worth it. It's worth it.